morning with hearts that are moved by your mercy, hearts that are moved by your grace and your love. I thank you that your love covers us. I thank you that yet while we were sinners, you called us, God. You called us to be in relationship with you by allowing your son, by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord God, you are a good, good father. You're a good, good Lord. You're a good, good master. And I thank you that you are exactly who you say you are. I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. And this morning, I pray that you will open up our hearts. You will open up our hearts to such a degree, Lord, that we can receive a word that will forever change us, that will produce good fruit. And we give you all the glory and praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning is going to come out of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. I've got to talk about this scripture a few times in my life, and I get excited about it because I think it's such a powerful scripture. But what I want to talk about this morning is there are two times that I can find in the scripture that the Bible says that God or Jesus marvels. And when you go look up the Greek word, it's a word that means, I always thought it meant like kind of a surprise, but it's more along the lines of when it says marvel in these two scriptures that I'm going to share about this morning, it means in amazement. In other words, he was wowed. He was overcome with what was being said. He was overcome with such an amazing effect on himself that the Bible says that he marveled. So and two times in scripture that Jesus marveled. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" I want to stop right there. When I come to God, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, when we pray to God and we ask God for something, I know a lot of times I'll catch myself asking God for something and telling God how to answer my prayer. If I'll be like, "God, I want you to help my wife have a good day, and I want the kids to be really good for her so she can have a good day." Or I'll say, "God, I want you to heal this person, and I want you to do it in, 24 minutes so that you get all the glory and praise." And I know that might be kind of a funny thing to say, but I think a lot of times when we ask God for something, we expect him to do it in a certain way. In other words, a lot of us, I'm sure definitely myself, I put him in a box. I say, "God, I want this, so I need you to do this. God, I need you to move on my family's behalf. God, I need you to heal this person or to heal me or to help me or to move this out of my way so that I can speak or so that I can speak, talk to these people." But I found in my life, when I tell God what I need and leave it at that, that's when God can do whatever God wants to do. That's when God can answer the prayer in whatever way he knows best. Because when my kids ask me for something, I don't need them to ask me for something and tell me how to do it. And the Bible says that if us being evil know how to give good gifts to our kids, then how much more so our Heavenly Father? And this morning, I want to first encourage each one of us and tell you, just because it's not happened the way you asked God for it to happen, doesn't mean God's not moving. Just because that wayward son or that daughter's not came back into the fold yet, doesn't mean God's not moving on your behalf. It doesn't mean that God's not working in the background, so to speak. So I want to encourage you with that this morning, saying, "Listen, I've been praying and fasting and talking to God, but I don't see anything yet." That's completely fine, because sometimes God might not do it till the ninth hour or the 12th hour. Sometimes God's just waiting to see if we'll continue to pray and believe. Because when this centurion, this soldier came to the Lord Jesus, I can promise you a couple weeks before this, he wasn't praying to Jesus probably. He wasn't calling on the name of God and doing the things that would have made him righteous. But the Bible says that when the centurion went to Jesus, he said, listen, I've got a servant at home that's paralyzed and dreadfully tormented, period. The centurion left it there because he knew God could fix it however God wanted to fix it. So in verse 7, the Bible says, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Verse 9, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What made Jesus marvel? And the obvious answer is the centurion's faith. But what allowed that centurion to have that kind of faith? What allowed this centurion, this soldier, to make the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ marvel at his belief? And I believe what that centurion had is he applied some of the things that he knew to be true in his life. He applied that to Jesus. He said, listen, I'm a man with authority. I can tell my soldiers, I can tell my servants to go do this and go do that. And they do it not because I stand behind them with a whip. Not because I can call the, you know, these other people to come over here and beat them. They do it because of my word. They do it because of my authority. And the centurion did a common sense analysis. He said, listen, if I have this kind of authority to make things happen, how much more authority can this man have that's healing the blind, that's making people that's paralyzed get up, that's taking the dead and raising them to life again? I have authority. Brothers and sisters, you and me have authority this morning. We have authority to speak the name of Jesus and things must happen. We have authority at our jobs, in our house, and things have to happen. But how many of us know this morning, if we're looking for the Savior to marvel at us, if we're looking for Jesus to sit back and say, wow, that's my kid, that we have to take that kind of understanding and apply it to our faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How in the world do we build our faith? It's by doing what we're doing this morning. It's by talking about the word of God and applying it to our lives. And sometimes it's taking baby steps, and sometimes it's taking leaps and bounds. And it doesn't matter to me if you're taking baby steps or leaps and bounds this morning, but what does matter is, how does Jesus look at us? How does Jesus look at this man, the centurion, who no doubt in his past has done some pretty bad things, has definitely imprisoned people, definitely had people whipped, had people bound, killed people. He's got a tore up past. He's got a past that no doubt is not glamorous to most. He's got a past that many would say that even a lot of us today, that if we messed up this morning or yesterday, that'll stop us from getting to God. And every word I continue to talk about every Wednesday morning, and when I read the scriptures, I keep seeing God showing me that stop worrying about what you've done. Stop allowing the sin or the pain or the worry or the doubt to stop you from coming to me. Just come to me. This centurion didn't tuck his head and say, woe is me, I've been a bad man, I can't go talk to Jesus. He said, listen, I've got some authority, so I know that if I have authority, then this man's got all authority. And the Bible says that Jesus gives him his wish. He says, listen, I'll come and heal him. And just keeping it real this morning, if Jesus told me, listen, I'll come to your house and heal your wife or your kid or your mama or whoever, I'm telling Jesus, come on. I'm saying, listen, you want a piggyback ride? You want to ride with me? It doesn't matter, whatever it is, but come on. I want you to come into my house. I want you to come lay hands. I want you to come anoint my family member or me with oil. Because to me, that's where the power was. But this centurion made the Savior marvel because he said, listen, I'm not worthy for those things to happen. But Jesus was not impressed by the centurion realizing his faults. Jesus was not impressed with the centurion realizing that he didn't meet the standard, so to speak. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe most of the time God is impressed with us realizing that we messed up. I do believe we have to be real with ourselves and we have to be honest, absolutely. But if you want to make Jesus marvel, he didn't marvel at the fact that the centurion thought he wasn't worthy enough. He didn't marvel at the fact that the centurion thought he wasn't good enough, but he did marvel at the fact that the centurion believed enough. He marveled because the centurion applied some common sense principles. He marveled because the centurion understood a basic principle and he applied that to his faith. Brothers and sisters, God's given a lot of us tons of wisdom, whether it be in business or it be in athletics or having the ability to listen. I marvel at my wife all the time because of her patience. If there's one thing I would probably say I don't have the greatest amount of, that's probably patience. That's probably the reason God allows me to experience so many situations that I need to practice patience. I hear you this morning, Lord. But sometimes I get aggravated or I get offended for my wife. I'm like, listen, stop being so patient. This person's walking over you or you know, you shouldn't be treated this way or whatever it may be. But I marvel at the fact because I'm surprised by it. I don't understand it because I'm not able to do what she's doing. And how many of us this morning have an athlete that we admire or somebody in, maybe politics or a mom or a dad or wife or husband, brother, son, cousin, whatever, or whomever it may be. We marvel at them because they're able to accomplish something we can't. They're able to walk through a storm with peace and joy and love. They're able to do these things and it makes us marvel because we're surprised and we're in amazement of what they're able to do. But brothers and sisters, the only way they're able to do it is because they understand a word. They understand that Jesus promises to love us and to take care of us and never forsake us. Just for the sake of time, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." In Mark chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "And he being Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Why? I believe Jesus was amazed. He was in amazement. He was wowed by their unbelief because they were there watching the miracles. I believe that he was amazed and he marveled because they were in such close proximity to Jesus. They were walking and talking with the Savior of the world. And he felt in that level of proximity and that level of closeness with him that they should believe. But he didn't beat them up and he didn't stomp off and leave. The Bible says that he still healed some people and did some works there. Brothers and sisters, this morning, it doesn't matter to me necessarily if Jesus is marveling at us because of our unbelief or because of our belief. Because in a moment, in an instant, you can change it. If Jesus this morning marveled at you because you didn't have faith, then right now you can have faith. If he marveled at you this morning because you disappointed or let somebody down or committed a sin, whatever it may be, I love God because he always gives us another chance. He's a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and hundred chances. He's a good, good Father. And this morning, I believe he's wanting to marvel at us. Because if we can marvel at him, then I promise you he'll look back at us in amazement. Not because he's surprised, but because he sees how good we are because of the blood of Jesus. He sees how loved we are. My little daughter, my Isabel, she's 7. And a couple weeks ago, we were talking and she said, "Dad, Mom, I'm going to need an hour more of recreation time this summer for myself. And I'm like, listen, your whole day's recreational, you know. And I'm like, well, Isabel, why do you need an extra hour, like specifically of recreation time? And she looked at us dead in the eyes and she said, listen, are y'all not worried about my driver's license picture? She said, I don't want to have wrinkles. And I'm like, what? And I marveled at her. I was surprised at what this little 7-year-old girl says. And I laughed with her. But there's other times that when I'm talking to her and she's like, Dad, let's pray. Or I watch her lift up her hands, or I watch her dance before the Lord. And I watch my son raise his hands in church with absolutely no embarrassment. Absolutely no, he's not thinking about what's going on around him. And I watch them praise and worship the Lord, and I marvel at them. I marvel that they believe what these words on this piece of paper say. And brothers and sisters, because I can marvel at their innocence, I can marvel at them worshiping and praising the Lord, that encourages me. Anytime that we can see somebody doing something that maybe we don't understand or is hard for us or doing it in a different way, or we look at their work ethic, then it makes us marvel. It encourages us. We can sit back and say, wow. I'm sure you could ask Brother Kevin 20 years ago, did you think the business would be doing what the business is doing today? And his answer probably would be no. Did you think God could do what God's done in the past 5 or 6 years? And his answer might be, yes, I thought he could do it, but I didn't know if he would do it. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage each one of you and let you know, just because it's not happened the way you thought it should happen, doesn't mean God's not about to answer. The centurion said, listen, I need you to heal my servant. He's going through something. My servant is in pain. My servant is in desperation mode. My servant needs your help. And he left it at that. Brothers and sisters, bring your prayer before God and leave it at that. Our prayer should not be, God, I need you to heal my wife and I need you to do it tomorrow when I anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Because what if God wants to do it now? What if God wants to do it in 2 minutes or 5 minutes? And I'm telling you this morning, I feel it in my spirit. There's a lot of us in this call and that will hear this message that's disappointed in God. We feel like God's not done it yet after our prayer and our supplications before him. And it's okay to feel that way, because I encourage you to be honest with God. But I'm telling you, don't put chains on God. Don't box him in. Allow God to be God. And that's a lot easier said than done. But this morning, this centurion added what he knew. He knew he had authority by his word, so he knew Jesus had to have more authority by his word. Jesus can marvel at our faith, or he can marvel at our unbelief, and it doesn't stop the outcome. And what I mean by that is, listen, you can have faith or you cannot believe right now. But right now, at this instant, you can change your heart. You can ask God to give you another chance. You can ask God to allow you to believe again. Because I don't want you to give up just because it's not happened yet. I don't want you to give up. When I sat in a prison cell and I knew that my mom and them could get me to come home, and I didn't get to come home when I thought I should, I gave up. But when God came on the inside of me and filled me with the power of his Holy Spirit, that was the time I could call my mom and say, listen, it's okay if I don't come home tomorrow. It's okay if I don't come home in a week. I'll come home when God wants me to come home. And I want us to have that kind of peace. I want us to have that kind of assurity to know that just because the child is still in the world doesn't mean that God didn't hear your cry. Just because your financial situation's not quite yet, doesn't mean God's not about to blow your mind financially. Just because you feel overwhelmed doesn't mean God's not about to release that pressure. I know I'm speaking to some people this morning, and I know I'm speaking to myself, because I believe that God showed us that he marveled at belief and he marveled at unbelief. But this morning, I know that God marvels at his son, Jesus. And you and me are covered under the Savior. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, this morning. So when God sees you and me, he sees the blood of Jesus. He sees a child. Once God calls us a saint, never again does he call us a sinner. Once he accepts us into his family, never again does he look at us at anything except a child of the King. You and I can have the faith of the centurion. You and I can have the faith that moves mountains, because you and I have the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. I'll never get away from it. The same power that woke the Savior up on that third day is the same power that gets me and you up every morning. It's the same power that allows us to pray a prayer of faith and watch things happen, watch people be healed and moved and delivered. That same prayer of faith, Ann, is the same one that's going to heal your daughters. That same prayer of faith, David, is what's going to move that mountain in your life. That same prayer of faith is what's going to bring us home with God one day. Brothers and sisters, I'm encouraged this morning, because I can sit back and I can marvel at a lot of you that I know personally. I can marvel because I see you pressing on and things aren't going your way. I can see you praying and believing and trusting God. And that encourages me this morning. I'm encouraged this morning because I know God marvels at us, because he sees us through that precious blood. I love when Jesus speaks the word and he tells the centurion, "Listen, I did what you said." I never read in the scripture that the centurion said, "Okay, Jesus, should I go do this or go do that? Or, you know, do I need to pay this? Or do I need to offer this? Or do I need to, you know, go wash in this river?" The Bible says that the centurion goes home. And when he gets home, obviously the servant is healed. And he says, "Listen, when did it happen?" And the centurion figures out that when Jesus spoke, his servant was healed. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has spoken. He's spoken that we are blessed above and not beneath, that we are the lender, not the borrower, that we are greater, that greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. This Bible is full of God speaking to us. If we can hold on to that like the centurion held on to a word from the Lord, then yes, we can be healed, but there's more. Yes, we can be delivered, but there's more. More than anything, we can be forgiven. Your sin is not greater than the love of God. Your unforgiveness is not greater than the love of my Savior. Your worrying is not greater than the promises of God, because the Bible says that they are yea and amen. Brothers and sisters, we can hold on like the centurion. But more than that, we can hold on like Jesus, because he is a good Savior, because he loves us and he redeemed us. So this morning, I marvel at a lot of you that I know. And I'm encouraged, I'm inspired this morning, because I know that our greatest days are ahead of us. And I can prophesy that over each one of you. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or if you're 95. Your greatest days are ahead, because our days ahead of us, they offer us so many possibilities. But more than anything, our greatest days are ahead, because one day we'll get to spend time worshiping the Savior. We'll get a chance. We'll get a chance to marvel at him. And that's good news this morning. We'll marvel at his scars. We'll marvel at his love. We'll marvel at his power and his majesty. And that is good news this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you. I thank you this morning, Lord, that I marvel at your goodness. God, your goodness, it's your mercy and your grace that makes me marvel, God. It's your love and your redemption for each one of us that makes me marvel. God, this morning, I marvel at you that you didn't get rid of us, that you didn't stop believing in us, that you continue to love us and to forgive us. God, this morning, we honor you with faith. We honor you with marveling at your promises. Because God, this morning, we're going to be like the centurion and we're going to hold on to the word. And God, we're not going to tell you how to perform it, but we are going to hold on to it. God, you do it the way you want to do it. because your ways are better than our ways. But this morning I prophesy over my brothers and sisters, and I claim those children for the kingdom of God. I claim that husband or that wife to be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak over these businesses represented, and I ask that you continue to grow them, Lord. Continue to grow them for your kingdom. Continue to show us how much you love us and your goodness and your mercy and your grace. This morning, we say yes to you and whatever that means. We say yes to your love and patience. We say yes to your redemptive power. And by faith, consider all these things done. In Jesus' name, amen.